That's a group out of Tennessee called Mr. Jack Daniel's Original Silver Cornet Band. And they are among the performers this weekend at the 38th Central Illinois Jazz Festival happening in Decatur. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Kelly. This program is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. And I'll be talking with the festival director of the Central Illinois Jazz Festival in just a moment. Coming up later on the show, a couple of choreographers who are involved in the annual February Dance concert by the Illinois Dance, which is the dance department at the University of Illinois. It's taking place at the Krannert Center in Urbana, opening tonight, as a matter of fact, and continuing through Saturday. Some interesting concepts, as always, in dance, some of which is going to be accompanied by some live music on stage. More about that as well. That's coming up later on the program. But first, let me introduce you to the festival director and of the Central Illinois Jazz Festival. She's also a board member for the Juve Jazz Society, which sponsors the event. Her name is Maggie Parker Brown. Thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity.
So I understand this is your 12th year directing this festival.
Yes, we've come a long ways with the festival. When we took it over, it was just one venue and four or five bands, and we've expanded it to multiple venues, and this year we have 10 bands and five guest artists, so we've really come a long ways and added many events to it also. We do the New Orleans-style umbrella parade on Friday to open the festival, with a very upbeat air, and we've added Pianorama and, gospel service on Sunday, jazz brunch on Sunday, some dance sets for those who like to dance. So we've just done a lot with it.
And I see something called Banjorama.
Yes, we also have that. I'll put all of our, or most of our banjo players together, and they just have a real good time with that.
Well, let me back up slightly and say that the Central Illinois Jazz Festival is sponsored by the Juve Jazz Society. And I may have asked you this question before or not, but what does that name come from? Juve, spelled J-U-V-A-E.
That was the name of a little lady who was an avid jazz fan in this area. She lived in the suburb of Forsyth, Illinois. She was just loved the music. She went to every concert, every festival that she could, and was always present. And then she was on her way to St. Louis in March about 20 years ago, and her car was sideswiped by a semi, and she was killed on her way to a jazz festival. So they thought it fitting to name the Jazz Society in honor of her.
So that was her first name.
It was her first name, yes, Juve.
Yeah. And what other sorts of things does the society do when it's not putting on the festival?
Well, we have monthly concerts. We do five or six of those a year, and then we have a fundraiser usually in August or September. We call it a mini-fest. We bring in several bands and have a regular indoor picnic. For years, we did it outdoors, and it was always, you know, is it going to rain? You know, oh dear, you know. So we brought it indoors about 4 years ago, and it has worked very well. It's here at the Conference Center. And we also have a scholarship program where we award scholarships to students, talented students, and they can choose either to go to jazz camp or to take private lessons. And so that's been very successful.
So let's look a little bit at the festival itself. You mentioned some of the peripheral events or extra events that one can participate in, but you've got all these bands, which I guess is ultimately what it's about, and they play at different times on the different stages. There's multiple things going on at certain times of each of the days, and it runs Friday evening, or I guess Friday afternoon, really, with the Get Acquainted Party through Sunday. And I'm looking at the list here of bands. You've got some that come from St. Louis. You've got one here from Tennessee, for example. You got one from California, Rebecca Kilgore from Oregon. How do you find and choose bands for the festival?
Well, I've been doing jazz for about 30 years, and I've always traveled a lot to other festivals to hear bands because I prefer to hear a band before I hire a band, not just from a CD. And so I have gone all over the country to listen to these bands and to read a lot. I read everything I can about bands and musicians so that I know who's very popular at the time. So we try to bring in all the bands that are extremely popular, and we've certainly done that. Tom Rigney and Flambeau plays just an incredible amount of festivals, and they've been a big hit here. They do the Zydeco, Gypsy Jazz, and Jack Daniel's band from Tennessee. They had previously traveled a lot, but then they kind of, I guess they got tired, so this will be their first festival back on the road, so we certainly look forward to hearing Jack Daniel's.
And they have a wonderful name, Mr. Jack Daniel's Original Silver Cornet Band.
Yes.
Does that imply that the whole band is full of cornet players?
No, they have a few other instruments, but it's all brass. However, they did make a CD that was very popular a number of years ago called Rhapsody in Silver, where they do Rhapsody in Blue also, and they do incorporate a clarinet with Bob Dragan and a bass with Joel Forbes in that set, and that will be our dinner show, which is another special event. They've always had a patron's dinner here at this festival on Saturday evening, so we just added a dinner show, and it makes a nice evening if you want to do something special for a birthday or an anniversary, to come and have dinner and see some very good entertainment.
So you're saying that they'll be doing this, their version of Rhapsody in Blue, at that event?
Yes, they'll be doing it at the dinner show.
And when does that happen?
That happens on Saturday evening. Dinner is at 5:30, and then about 7:15 we start with the show. And in the meantime, we do all of our credits to all those who have helped produce this festival and thank everyone and all the other jazz clubs in the area who support us extremely, and anyone who, you know, musicians do a lot promoting the festival. So those are all of our thank yous.
Does the dinner show require a special ticket, or does you just,
well,
how do you get into the whole thing?
Okay, well, we have several ticket plans. One is for the entire weekend for $150. Includes everything going on over the weekend from Friday through Sunday, including the dinner and the Get Acquainted party on Friday afternoon. We always have snacks there. And that's your patron package. It includes everything but the brunch. And then we also, for Saturday evening, have a special ticket for $65. It's the dinner show and all the events going on Saturday evening. So, and then we have session tickets for those who would just like to do a session. There are sessions Friday evening, Saturday day, Saturday evening, and Sunday, and the session tickets are $30, but you are hearing like 10 bands and multiple venues, so it's quite a good lot of music for the price.
And I'm talking with Maggie Parker Brown, who is a festival director for the 38th Central Illinois Jazz Festival in Decatur. Here's one of the bands that will be appearing. They come from Berkeley, California. Tom Rigney and Flambeau. Tom Rigney is the fiddler here, and this is a tune called Over the Edge. That was a group called Tom Rigney and Flambeau from Berkeley, California. The tune called Over the Edge. They're among the performers at the Central Illinois Jazz Festival, which is taking place at the, what did I just do with the my venue sheet here? Here we go, the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. Bunch of venues within that hotel, and the schedule starts tomorrow in the afternoon and runs through Sunday, and you can find it all on juvejazz.com. That's JUVAE jazz.com. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Maggie Parker Brown, who's the festival director. I'm looking at the schedule here a little bit and seeing that some of the bands are working quite a lot during the course of the festival.
Well, we try to schedule all bands for six sets over the course of the weekend, and then we pull out some of the musicians for special things, like on Friday afternoon there were several musicians coming in early, and so we did We Three Plus Two. We added Dan Barrett and Eddie Erickson to that band to make it kind of fun.
So We Three is actually the name of a trio.
Yes, that's a trio.
And are they is that a local group?
No, that's Jeff Barnhart from Connecticut, Danny Coots from Tennessee, and Bob Draga from Florida.
Wow, they do really come from all over, even just to form one ensemble. What's this Central Illinois Jazz Festival All-Stars? Where do they come from?
Okay, that's mostly East Coast musicians, very popular musicians from the East Coast, headed up by Nikki Parrott, originally from Australia, but she's been in the States since about 1994. She's on bass. And then we have Adrian Cunningham. He's also from Australia, but been in the States a long time. They're both from New York. Adrian plays reeds. Randy Reinhart from New York on trumpet. He's well-known, plays with Vince Giordano a lot. And then we have, let's see, who else have we got? Russ Phillips. He's the only one not from the East, from Chicago, very popular trombone player from Chicago. And Paolo Alderighi on piano. He's from Italy. He's currently in the States. So he will be performing with the All-Stars, plus doing some other piano work, especially on the Pianorama.
Yeah, tell me about this Pianorama. What does that mean?
Well, that's several hours of all of our pianists doing varied things. Some play together, like Stephanie Trick, originally from St. Louis, the very famous young stride piano player. She will team up with Paolo. In fact, they have a CD together where they play the same piano. Sometimes they play two pianos. Randy Morris will play. He's with the Wally's Warehouse Waifs, and he's a very popular ragtime player. And then we have Jeff Barnhart from Mystic, Connecticut. Actually, he's the leader of the Titan Hot 7. He's also in the We Three trio. He's an excellent piano. And Paul Reed from California. He does some good ragtime. And Mike Lucas from Sunset Stomp in Indianapolis. Another great piano player. So they do lots of different things on the piano. We have two pianos in that venue, and they really put on a show.
I should remind folks that we're talking about the Central Illinois Jazz Festival, which is in its 38th year in Decatur, which is happening on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. You can get more information by going to the website of the Juve Jazz Society, which is spelled JUVAEjazz.com. All the info is there, and probably just anything you need to know. I want to go back to something that sort of slipped by early on, Maggie. You said that you've been doing jazz for about 30 years. Now, does that mean that you've been enjoying jazz, or are you also a performer yourself?
No, unfortunately, I'm not very talented, and maybe that's why I appreciate all this music so much. My husband, Jim Parker, and I had a club in Iliopolis, Illinois, a very small town, where we presented jazz once a month, And so I became acquainted with bands and musicians. And when he passed away, we did some concerts in Decatur in conjunction with the Gervais Jazz Society. And it just kind of evolved from there when this hotel, originally the conference center, was the Holiday Inn. And it was owned by Rainer Door Corporation. And when the CEO, Ray Nicewinder, decided to retire, he sold the hotel to local investors, and that was 12 years ago. And the local investors said, we don't know anything about a jazz festival, so they asked our society to take it over. Well, at the time, Gervais Jazz was a very small group. I think we had 50 members and $3,000. And so here we are saying, well, if we don't try, we'll lose the following for the festival. So we tried, and fortunately, we've been very successful.
Well, I hope that that success continues. It certainly seems like a fantastic lineup this weekend. And again, if anybody wants all the information and the complete schedule, let's say you wanted to go to just, you could only either afford the time or the money to go to one session, you can sort of pick out which one you'd like to go to. It's Gervais Jazz, JUVAEJazz.com. My guest has been Maggie Parker Brown, who's the festival director. She's also a board member on the society, past president of the society as well. Sounds like you've got your hands full, so I better let you go and keep working at things.
Well, we certainly are, and I might mention that ticket sales will be open at 10 Friday morning, and they're open from 10 to 10 both Friday and Saturday and on Sunday until afternoon. So ticket sales, tickets are available at the door. So just come on over and enjoy some wonderful music.
Thank you, Maggie, very much, and best of luck with the whole weekend.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That's a group out of Michigan called Wally's Warehouse Waifs, and I think the tune is Panama. I actually pulled that off of YouTube, and that seemed to be the identification. Sometimes you don't get full info or necessarily be able to trust what's up there, but that's what it seemed to say, and they are going to be performing along with a bunch of other bands from across the country, as well as from Central Illinois, at the 38th Central Illinois Jazz Festival, which happens tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday in Decatur. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Support for WYLL today comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. My next guests on the show today are both involved in the dance program at the University of Illinois. They call it, now I just forgot what it is called, Illinois Dance. Or
February Dance.
Well, that's the name of the concert, is February Dance.
Oh, Dance at Illinois.
Dance Illinois. And that's the voice of one of the two people I'm going to be talking to, Rebecca Nettlefields, a longtime faculty member and former interim director of the dance program. And also have Renee Archibald, who's a third-year candidate in the Master of Fine Arts program in the dance department. Both are among the several choreographers involved in February Dance, which is an annual concert of that name that opens tonight and continues tomorrow and Saturday. All performances at 7:30 in the Caldwell Playhouse at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. Becky and Renee, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And we're going to start with Renee because she has to teach coming up at 5 o'clock. That's the thing about being either a teaching graduate student or a professor, is you have to do that every once in a while. Although, Becky, feel free to chime in, because
sure,
my initial questions are really just about the concept of the concert itself. Mm-hmm. If there is an overriding concept.
Not so much an overriding concept, actually, because there are four different choreographers and four quite different pieces, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
But this year, I think one different thing than maybe in the past is we have four sort of shorter works and no intermission. So we kind of aimed for a more succinct kind of concert. Sometimes we've had long, rambling concerts. Yeah. So this one, I think, is shorter. We kind of strove, is that a word?
Strived. It is. I believe strove. But don't check me on that. Or go right ahead, just don't tell me about it.
So there's work by three faculty members and then one guest artist who is from California,
mm-hmm.
Sheldon.
Sheldon, who's one of our alums.
And then
Sheldon Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Sheldon Smith. And then Katrina Choate here, too. She is a former graduate student who's now a visiting lecturer, I believe, or a visiting faculty member. And then, as you mentioned, I'm a third-year MFA grad student, and I'm collaborating with faculty member Renee Wadley. And then, of course, Rebecca Nettlefield's work as well.
So the Renees, in your case. In fact, the
yes,
music.
Yes, exactly.
There's some live music with just two mm-hmm. or three of the productions of the pieces. Yours has some.
Mine is live.
Three, yeah.
Mine is played live by John Tengis on the piano.
And well,
that's the only actual live music.
Yeah. Our score was commissioned by Jason Finkelman. So the work by myself and Renee Wadley's, the score was is by Jason Finkelman. He is playing the score, but not creating music live. He's tuned the space so that there are four speakers in the space, and there are different tracks for each speaker. And so the music that you have that you'll play is a stereo track, so it includes all of those tracks. But his concept with the music was that wherever you sit in the theater will have a different musical experience.
Well, let me ask a general question before we get to the
specific
piece, and both of you can answer this as mm-hmm. well. And Becky, I've probably asked you some version of this before because you've been on the show before.
maybe.
But it's a question that I always have in my mind about choreographers, which is what you start with. Do you start with a concept for movement, or do you start with some piece of music, or do you get with a musician if you're working with somebody you know and create something together?
That really varies. That varies drastically from project to project or choreographer to choreographer. So you could start any number of places for choreography.
Well, when you're since we know Renee is going to be teaching a little later and that you do teach, how do you approach the teaching of choreography in that sense?
You mean teaching our dancers within our work or teaching other
people?
Well,
just within the context of that particular question, how do you teach? How do you suggest that somebody start?
That's another thing that varies quite a bit. I think most of the time in our beginning choreography, and we actually call it choreographic process in our department. Most of the time we don't use music in the beginning. We kind of take that away from the choreographer at first so they can discover vocabulary and phrasing and their own way of putting something together without being constricted by music.
And so by vocabulary, you mean sort of a vocabulary of things that one can do with the body?
Yes, like the movement material that they're going to make.
Or as I've heard some jazz musicians say, you have a bag of tricks. And when you process of improvising, in their case, they pull from the bag of tricks and then sort of assemble from there and then, of course, interject things on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
But so the vocabulary might be somewhat the equivalent of that. But you're not improvising on, usually.
Somebody might improvise in order to come up with the material that they're going to, the movement, I'll call it movement, that they're going to make, that they're going to put in the piece if they're setting the piece of choreography. It's not like ballet where there's a set vocabulary, where you are pulling from set specific steps that you've already learned and you're putting them together in a certain way. But in modern, contemporary, modern dance, we make up the movement. We have no kind of boundaries unless we impose our own boundaries,
I worked with one of your former faculty members. I think he was visiting, and honestly, I forget his name.
Fabrice.
A Frenchman. Yeah,
Fabrice
Lemire. That's right. And he was doing something in collaboration with my orchestra, the Prairie Ensemble, of Stravinsky's Pulcinella Ballet. And I did go to some of the sessions, and it was my first experience seeing a choreographer at work. And it appeared to me that he was making it up as he went, which kind of surprised me because I thought, well, don't you have the concept down, maybe even have it written down? I'd always wondered how one documents a choreography.
That's another whole topic.
Seemed to be just sort of, I know, we don't have
that
much time.
There are many varieties, many different ways to record choreography, whether it's like you're actually writing down some steps or just like this part is floaty and then this other part is angular.
Well, you hear every once in a while that somebody's going to recreate Nijinsky's choreography to such and such ballet, for example. They must have some basis.
Yeah, there are some things notated in a system called LABA notation, which I actually can read and write. But I don't do it very often anymore. It's really complicated. If you can imagine all the body parts that would have to be notated, what each part is doing and how long it takes, and it's quite complex.
Well, let's take a specific piece then, which is in the case of that piece created by Renee Archibald, who is my guest here, and Renee Wadley, because I have a press release here that I quite innocently wrote to Professor Cynthia Oliver, who wrote it and sent it to me, or at least it's her. She's the contact person on here, and I said, can you send me a copy that doesn't have these? There's these big black boxes in blocking out bunches of text in the paragraph that describes your piece. And she said, oh, that was intentional. You can ask Renee about it. So here I am. And in fact, the part that appears to be the title is three variously sized black boxes blocking out what would have been the title, is a choreographic collaboration between Renee and Renee.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you call the piece?
Well, we don't really refer to it by a name. You could think of it, like as a symbol or something, like how Prince went to a symbol.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, and so I would say that reading the title, it has more of a visual impact and perhaps a rhythmic impact when you see the spacing of these black little bars or sections. This wasn't intentional, but when we did do this, we discovered that we enjoyed its effect. We came upon this just sort of circumstantially within our process, as in we were working with some titles, and then we decided just to cover them. Yeah.
And one of the parts that I can see in this paragraph here says something about a mystery on the subatomic scale of quarks.
Mm-hmm.
This has something to do, that somehow turns into dance.
I think regarding the subatomic scale of quarks, we oftentimes, myself and then in this process, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about how Renee and I got involved in doing this together, but I think we were interested in, like, movement dynamics, not so much like is the energy sharp or what have you, but the effect of one thing on another. And one of the initial sort of images that we talked about early on was like the idea of a swarm, like a bee swarm, not so much like the sort of mob mentality by any means, but just that kind of like buzzing around some kind of central thing. So this kind of this energy. I would not say it has anything to do with the subatomic scale of quarks, but it just kind of, using that language, it might get someone into the headspace of watching the dance.
And there's how many people involved in your piece?
There are 7 performers.
Who create a certain energy among themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in response to the music that Jason Finkelman has created, or simply along with the music that he's created?
Yeah, that's a good question. I want to backtrack just a second and talk about why Renee and I decided to work on this together, because it's not very common that that Dance at Illinois has collaborations like these, I guess. But I danced for her last year in her February dance piece, and in that piece I performed a section of improvisation that she was particularly interested in because of the sort of speed and flow and change of ideas that just kind of almost like I was just kind of an open channel and all of this stuff could just flow through very quickly. And so we were both interested in investigating that a little more. And so we decided, and not necessarily directly, but just kind of to put that inside of a choreographic process, a new one. And so we decided to make something together, and we talked about a whole bunch of different structures that we would consider using for the collaboration, like, you only come to rehearsal on Tuesdays, mm-hmm. I'll come on Thursdays, and, you know, you'll deal with whatever I left on Tuesday. But we didn't end up doing any of that. We just kind of were making decisions side by side. And so one of the decisions early on was to commission Jason Finkelman for the score. And we didn't actually start working with Jason until much later in the process. We essentially made the whole dance and the structure of the dance, and Jason scored the dance almost like a film. And so that created an interesting dynamic if you talk about or consider musicality, because as you'll hear, the sound that he made, and you won't hear this on the radio, but it almost creates like a pillow that supports the dance, and the dance kind of can create its own music on top of this support of sound. And so that music that the dance might create speaks to that sort of idea of this like vibration around something, or at least this is one of the ways that I've started to view the dance.
Well, let's give a listen to some of the music.
Okay.
And people have to, I mean, the thing about talking about dance is it's very difficult to describe what people are doing on stage, which in fact I haven't asked you to do. And so right now, just given this conversation so far and the music you're about to hear, people can use their imagination, and chances are they won't come up with at all what you came up with. Hence, they got to go to the concert.
Yeah, right? There we go.
Yeah.
We are talking about Dance at Illinois' February Dance Concerts tonight through Saturday, and Renee Archibald has collaborated with Renee Wadley on a piece that includes this music as part of their piece Without a Name. Some music composed and created by, I mean, the two different processes, really, Jason Finkelman, in response to the choreography of Renee Archibald and Renee Wadley for their piece, which will be put on by students and faculty, or just students doing the dancing in your piece?
It's seven students, six undergraduates, and one graduate student.
Okay. So what was that music we were hearing that were...
The
sounds.
Yeah. Jason created that section by sampling one of the dancers' voices. There's a part in the dance where one of the dancers is sort of mumbling, and he sampled that in a studio and then manipulated it in different ways so that it... I think that process in itself really helps to create... a world for the dance, because everything is kind of interconnected. The sound is connected to the dance in a very basic procedural way of like how he created that. It really, I feel like the dance exists, all of the elements of the dance really exist together in this one world.
So although I haven't asked you to describe
mm-hmm.
What's on stage, I'm now gonna.
Okay.
Just some little idea of, I mean, now that we've heard this, we've heard the concept, what did you decide to do with them? I mean, at least a little bit, what might people see or imagine ahead of time?
Sure. For example, in one of the sections, the dancers created movement based on some improvised movement that I had done. And so they learned the improvisation from video, but then they also created their own. And that that material, there's a lot of rhythm in it. There's a lot of, it's very edgy. There's a lot of like high tone and even like open mouths and like claw-y hands. And so there's a lot of small activity happening on the, in the space that sort of creates a hubbub of energy. Then there are other sections where not all of the dancers are on stage. There's a trio of women that move broadly across the stage, and then there's a duet where one dancer almost like drags another dancer around while the first dancer is performing movement. She kind of is pulling this other dancer around. I don't want to give away too much.
No, that's fine.
But each thing kind of it's a little bit episodic in the way things kind of unfold.
You should talk about the projections real quick.
Oh, yeah. So John Boshi, who's a new faculty member at UIUC, worked with Renee and I to create these projections at the back of the stage. And I also don't want to say too much about them, but they're very simple and graphic, and the dancers' costumes are colorful and printed, and so there's this sort of popping effect that happens visually, for me at least, and hopefully other people will enjoy that contrast.
Well, you can see this piece among the others that will be part of Dance at Illinois' February Dance Concert at 7:30 tonight or tomorrow or Saturday, or go to all three if you want, because
yeah.
It sounds like one probably can't absorb exactly what it all means, if it means anything at all, in one sitting. Renee Archibald, with Renee Rodley, create this particular piece. Renee Archibald, been my guest this portion of Live and Local. Thanks for joining us, and I know you have to go teach, so go teach.
Thank you, Kevin. Have a great day.
Also with us, as introduced earlier, is Rebecca Nettlefield, who's on faculty for Dance at Illinois. Her piece involves music that is likely to be more recognizable, and in fact, we'll sort of test you on that. And here is one of the, I think, seven pieces for piano that will be played live by John Tengis, by Eric Satie. They're called Nociens, and this is the third one. So you may or may not recognize that music. People who enjoy the music of Eric Satie probably know this one, or who hear it in passing now and then on this station or elsewhere. That's one of his better-known pieces. It's the third of the normally six Nociens, and it's played here by John Tengis, who is the music director for Dance at Illinois, and he will play it live during the performance of Becky's piece, which actually does have a name, which I assume is Nocien.
Yes.
And now, here we go with names. I don't think that Satie ever explained that himself.
No.
Or at least not satisfactorily.
No, I don't think so.
And I don't imagine you're going to help us out there.
Well, I named it after his music, obviously.
So that's what we get as far as the title
that's
goes.
That's it.
But at least that is fair enough. Now, his pieces tend to, as the one you just heard did, wander a bit.
Mm-hmm.
With various repetitive gestures, and John Tengis is here as well.
There's even a directive in that particular piece to play très perdu, or very lost.
Very lost, yes.
Yeah.
So one could imagine that you could take that as a choreographic cue as well.
Yeah, well, definitely. You know, in the first section of the first Nocien, I did specifically use his musical, what do you call them, musical markings?
Directives.
That Satie wrote in the score, for example, Very Shining or On the Tip of Your Thought.
On the tip of your thought.
Or Ask Yourself. Or these things he wrote right in the score. And I thought that was pretty fascinating and very lively as sort of a way of thinking of making up movement. So we actually took those words in the studio and tried to develop movement that based on what those words.
Well, let's take Ask Yourself, for example. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that you could have people do gestures that suggest that thought, mm-hmm. or you could simply take that thought yourself and creating it and say, ask yourself something. And
right.
then that might produce some notion of movement, or you could have your dancers do that.
That's what we did. We took that whole thing as a score, and then I made up a phrase. Different groupings of dancers made up phrases based on those words. So that was a really fun way to come up with the movement. We did that just for one section. We didn't do that for every section.
And John, as music director, do you get involved in the choreography itself, or do you just lay down some music and they do what they do, or
Well, it varies from time to time, you know, from dance to dance. Sometimes I do my own dances, and then I'm very involved in the choreography, but in this case, Becky asked me to play, and I'm really delighted.
So when you say do your own dances, mean that you do some choreography yourself?
Yeah. That's a little more highfalutin word for what I do than what it is, but I do create movement structures and within which people move. But in this case, Becky and I worked together. You know, we worked together on the feeling of the movement, of the music, the tempi, the way that I phrase and interpret.
Phrasing,
And so we collaborate on that level on the music.
I wanted to give people a chance to hear a slight bit of, I mentioned that there are six Nociens normally, but you turned up a seventh?
Mm-hmm. It's also known as something else, which I don't have it right with me. I should have. But also sometimes it's known as the seventh Nocien. And in the score that we both had, it's set Nocien. So it had seven.
Here's a little bit of that one. So any sort of notion of viewers might see while during this music that we're hearing now?
What they might see, describing the movement,
what they will
see, think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's hard to describe in words. I think I tried to kind of somehow capture some essences of the music. The poetry that's in the music, or what I hear as the poetry in the music. So
there is a distinct rhythm that started after a little while, this yom ding bum bum, which is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Any reflection of that rhythm itself?
I think there's a lot of reflections of the different rhythms that are in the piece in different ways. I try to interact with that very consciously. Sometimes, though, I don't do it exactly as it's going along, because to me that would be a little bit boring to just see the movement exactly repeating the rhythm of the music.
As we were looking at it in my class today, actually,
yes.
We were studying the relationship between the music and the movement. Our dancers picked up on the idea that really it's the feeling of the rhythm that Becky works with. So not necessarily matching step by step with the tones of the piano, but the feeling that boom, boom, boom gives you that kind of elongated mm-hmm. feeling. And so that sort of feeling, for example, or a feeling of that you get from a fast run of eighth notes or something like that.
And then
that.
An extension from there, the rest mm-hmm. of the steps
exactly.
from there. Well, we're going to have to leave it at that. And as we said earlier, okay. if people want to really get that the idea of what happens, you have to go see dance, which is always
That's
true
it.
Anyway.
That's true.
February Dance, put on by Dance in Illinois, the University of Illinois. It's going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, 7:30 p.m., with pieces by three faculty members and then a collaboration, and then one guest choreographer. And, of course, the collaboration between faculty and graduate student it was just described a bit ago. For more information, you can go to krannertcenter.com. Thanks to Becky Nettlefield and John Tengis for joining us on this portion of the show.
Thank you
Thanks,
for having
Kevin.
Us.
Live and Local is made possible today by Krannert Art Museum, presenting Africa, Cradle of Life, an evening of song, spoken word, dance, and other forms of cultural expression, celebrating the history and contemporary creativity of Africa and its diasporas on Saturday, February 2nd at 7 p.m. And I will interject, we may in fact be talking about that a bit on tomorrow's program, still working on that. Programming is also made possible by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, welcoming the B.B. Miller Dance Company. Or simply B.B. Miller Company, as they present the evening-length duet, A History, on Friday, February 8th at 7:30 p.m. And again, for more information, visit krannertcenter.com or call 217-333-6280. Also on tomorrow's program, I'll be talking with Rebecca Kilgore, who is one of the performers who will be at the Central Illinois Jazz Festival tomorrow. And we sort of deliberately didn't mention her in the conversation earlier because I'll be talking with her on tomorrow's show. It's Live and Local. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana.